Go to overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk/online-therapy to get 20% off your first month of cognitive behavioural therapy, with weekly sessions online with a therapist, in addition to worksheets, a journal, meditation and yoga videos, and unlimited messaging. There's strong evidence that CBT can help people who hoard, and accessing therapy online can be affordable and accessible. Find out more and get your discount at overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk/online-therapy.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Think of all the sleep hacks you've ever heard. You could spend years trying them all, or you could instantly transform your sleep with Bowl and Branch. They make the softest, most breathable bedding you'll ever feel, and it's all 20% off. That's their best sale of the entire season. Millions of sleepers love their buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. And you can try all of them for 20% off with promo code BUTTERY20. So hurry to bowlandbranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and branch.com. See site for details.
Welcome to the Overcome Compulsive Hoarding with That Hoarder podcast. I am drowning in stuff and trying to find a way out. Listen as I explore the issues and delve deep. As somebody profoundly affected by hoarding disorder. Find out more, including links to subscribe to the podcast and all of my social media at overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk. Finally, I am not a doctor. I am just a hoarder doing her best. So do seek professional support if and when you need it. Hey, how are you? I hope everything is going well for you. Things here are fine. The days are getting longer, which is really nice. It's nice that you can go out at 4 o'clock and it's not dark yet. I appreciate it. So, today I have a random thing I found this week. And then I am talking about how time-consuming living in a hoard is. And then I have a shout-out. So, let's start.
It's time for the pointless thing I found this week.
This is actually a double. I found two bank cards this week. There was a bank card that expired in January 2012, which for context is before the London Olympics. And I found a credit card that expired in October 2007. Well done, me. They are now safely chopped up and in the bin. Not that anybody could clone them and do anything useful with them after all this time, but they are now chopped up and in the bin. So I used to think that tidy people spent all their time cleaning and tidying. I didn't know how people had time to be tidy. There is so much to do. How could they fit tidying up in when we live in a world where we work and we socialise and we sleep and eat? How do people fit in the time to tidy? And I used to think, even if I get my home tidy, I can't maintain it because I don't have time to be cleaning and tidying all the time. That was how I saw things. But I've been coming to a gradual realization, probably an overdue realization, that actually it's living in a hoard that's really time consuming. And I'm not talking about the time it takes to dehoard. That is massively time consuming. And I knew that because there's a lot of that to do. But it's actually all the other stuff that takes longer when you live in clutter, when you live in a hoard. And as you may know, I, for a long time, couldn't access or really use my kitchen cupboards. I had got into a bit of a mess with them and got to a point where I had too much stuff piled up in front of them, so I couldn't access them. And then because I couldn't access them, I couldn't put the things away that were piled up in front of them. And so I was stuck in a really vicious cycle where I would then have to continue piling up stuff in front of them because there was nowhere to put things away to. And then about a year ago, I finally successfully got into my kitchen cupboards, every single one of them. And the ones that had food in, it was all like packaged food, so there wasn't anything mouldy or gross to deal with, but everything was out of date pretty much. So I spent a few weeks, just one cupboard at a time, going through. For myself, I'm very clear that I don't eat out of date food. Out of date food goes in the bin and it makes me sad. I'm very conscious of that as waste, but I try, rather than berate myself for that waste, I try instead to kind of say to myself, look, this is sad and this is a waste, but it's a consequence of hoarding. It's not I'm a terrible person. It's this is a consequence of what happens when you hoard. And so rather than use this as fuel to beat myself up, I tried to use it as yet one more reason I had to overcome hoarding. And so, cupboard by cupboard, I got them emptied, I got the out-of-date stuff in the bin, and I was able to bag by bag by bag empty out the bits and bobs, because of course I'd been overbuying in the interim because I didn't know what I had because I didn't have cupboards where I could see what I'd got. So I'd be in the supermarket and I'd think, oh, do I need pasta? Well, probably. And so I would buy another bag of pasta when I had 6 bags already, but I didn't know that, or I couldn't find them in the sea of bags. And so cupboard by cupboard, I managed to get things out of the bags and into the cupboards. I'm not going to say in like a really neat, organized way, but in a way that if I want a particular kind of food, I know which bit of which cupboard to look in. If it's pasta, it's top left of a particular cupboard. If it's rice, it's top right of the same cupboard. If it is sauces like soy sauce, anything like that, it's the bottom left of that cupboard. It's not, you know, one of these Instagram ready kitchen cupboards. But roughly, if I'm wondering if I've got any tins of tuna, I know roughly where they'll be if I have. And it has been really nice to have working cupboards again. It's been about a year now, I think, maybe a bit less, since I got access to them all. And it's not that everything runs smoothly now in my kitchen. There's still a lot of clutter in there. There's still too much of everything. And there are still things in that room that should be in other rooms. But on just a day-to-day basis, it saves me so much time when I think, okay, I want to have pasta and pesto and some veg for tea. And I know where the pasta lives, and I know where the pesto lives, and I know the veg are in the fridge. It is so much quicker. And sure, that might only save 5 minutes a day. But if you think of that on the scale of a whole home, do you know where your deodorant is every single day? Do you know where your underwear is every single day? Do you know where your keys are? Do you know where your bag is? Do you know where your coat is? Do you know where both of a pair of shoes are? Every single thing we lose, and when we hoard, we lose a lot of stuff. And then sometimes we rebuy it because we really can't find it. And then we've got even more clutter. And every day when we're looking for things, that takes up time that if things were more under control, we wouldn't have to spend that time on. And 5 minutes looking for pasta and 4 minutes looking for deodorant and 3 hours looking for your other shoe every day, even if it's 30 seconds looking for your keys and 30 seconds looking for your coat, that's, you know, that's time you could be spending having an extra 30 minutes sitting down in peace before you leave for the chaos of the commute. And it's not just the fact that we lose things that makes living in a hoard really time consuming. There's also the procrastination and the avoidance and the decision fatigue that we can really get kicked by, and that can slow us down considerably. When you are surrounded by clutter, that's really overwhelming. And when things are overwhelming, we might feel intimidated. We might not know where to start. We might not have any confidence that we are capable of tackling it. And so we delay, we procrastinate, we put it off. And all of that delaying, all of that procrastinating, all of that overwhelm means that that extra deliberation, that extra postponing isn't always, or isn't often, dare I say, spent productively. It's not like we procrastinate de-hoarding by doing something else that's useful. Occasionally we do, sometimes we do. But if you're anything like me, that procrastination looks like sitting in a heap and panicking or shutting down, one or the other. It's not productive time. It's not practical time. It's not useful time. It's unpleasant, and it's a lot of nothing. Overwhelming nothing. How can that even exist? And yet I feel it in my bones. And living in a hoard is stressful. It's stressful to not be able to find your car keys when you're about to leave for work. It's stressful to never know if you're running out of coffee. It's stressful to trip over things every time you leave the bathroom. It's stressful to live in fear of somebody knocking on the door and needing to come in. And all of that piles on top of the time wasting and that overwhelmed procrastination and slows us down again. Even if we think we've got that kind of high stress productivity going on, often that's not very efficient. It's not very productive. We're kind of running around and not getting a whole lot done. All of that is time consuming. And if our homes were tidier, had less in them, a good chunk of that would disappear and we would have that time for whatever else we wanted to do. I'm not saying that if you live in a neat home, you'll never lose your keys. Some people lose their keys in a room with nothing but a table. But the sheer quantity of things you might lose one after the other, after the other, after the other, or that extra 30 seconds here and that extra 30 minutes there, it all adds up. I know some hoarders are in a position to clean and some are not. But if you are in a position to clean, and if you do clean, first of all, the more stuff you've got, the more stuff there is to clean. That takes extra time. If you've got more bookshelves than you need, that's a lot more bookshelves to dust. If you've got more piles of stuff on the floor, that's more that you have to move in order to vacuum the floor and then move back so you can vacuum the other bit of the floor. I knew a woman years ago who resisted any kind of ornament like candles or figurines or anything like that. And she would always just say, it's just more to dust. And I didn't really understand at the time, I think because I hadn't dusted for a long time. But it's true. If you've got not only extra shelves, but those shelves are covered in things that need a bit of attention, that all takes a lot longer than if you had just a couple of shelves and you could wipe them down. If you listen to my episode with Jan about squalor, a word that I still hate, one of the reasons that hoarding can lead to squalor, it doesn't necessarily, but it can, is that it's just so much harder to keep on top of your cleaning in a hoarded home than it is in a neat home without too much stuff. I know whenever I stay at a friend's or go on holiday, especially if I'm somewhere like an Airbnb where you're expected to leave it in, you know, to have done your own, done your washing up and to tidy round before you go, it always amazes me every single time how quick and easy it is to tidy up a home that's already neat and tidy, compared to trying to do that in a hoarded home, which is a constant rolling a rock up a hill, isn't it? So if you find yourself thinking, I just wouldn't have time to clean on an ongoing basis, like I used to think, and I still don't really have full confidence that I would, but equally, I can't deny that living with far too much stuff is really time consuming. It's everything takes so long. Everything takes so much longer than it needs to. I'm seeing a friend tomorrow. I haven't seen her since Christmas. I know her Christmas present is somewhere. It's going to take me ages to find it. I know that. I know which bit of which room it should be in. If I didn't live in a hoard, then even if I still only knew which bit of which room it was in, there would be a lot less to go through. There wouldn't be an excess of bags to look in to see whether her Christmas present is in them. And all the time I would save finding her Christmas present. In these examples, you can see the bits I specifically have problems with. Finding both shoes. I do tend to know where my deodorant is. That's because I have upstairs deodorants and downstairs deodorants because I know I lose them. Keys, I know, are always in my bag, but where my bag is the bit that I have a panic round. The time it will take me to find clean clothes, never mind what I want to wear, it's just, is this acceptably clean? Do these things go roughly together? And all of that extra time in finding that Christmas present, getting the bits together that I need to leave the house, getting the bits together that I need to make myself presentable, all the time I will inevitably waste on all of that tomorrow because I have to in order to achieve my goal for the day, is time that if I didn't live in a hoard, I wouldn't have to spend. And if I spent even half of that time cleaning instead, because I didn't live in a hoard, I would still have more time to myself than I do currently. I wonder if there's some benefit in thinking, because I talk a lot about kind of reframing the way we think about de-hoarding and the way we think about our stuff, and how maybe instead of thinking of it as a comfort blanket, we can start to realize that it's more oppressive than that. And when we can change the way we think about it, that can also change the way we deal with it when we're trying to decide what to keep and what to get rid of. And I wonder if we can add to that kind of stuff can be quite oppressive. Getting rid of things can be freeing rather than terrifying. De-hoarding can be liberating rather than something we are forced to do. Whether there's also a benefit in adding, by doing this today, I am freeing up time for myself in the future. That whole thing of I'm doing this today, me is doing this for future me. And up to now, I've mostly talked about that in terms of having more space, in terms of having nicer surroundings, in terms of being able to do the things I want to do, like have friends around, in order to reduce the stress, all for future me. And I wonder whether I can add to that, that doing the hard work today is also freeing up time for future me. And as a person who likes her rewards quick, this is hard for me to get my head around. I like to see results quickly, whereas de-hoarding is the longest, slowest process. But I'm learning to trust it a little bit. Well, the amount I trust it varies. Sometimes it's barely. Sometimes I'm fully trusting that it's leading me to a better place. And that better place, I'm going to really try and add to my mental picture of that better place being also a place where future me has a little bit more time. And if she uses some of that for cleaning, all the better. Do you want to be a de-hoarding darling? You can be now at overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk/darling. If you love the podcast and want a bit extra, you can finally sign up to subscribe. Members will get an exclusive monthly post with an additional top tip, some podcast and music recommendations, and a personal update from me about how things are going. Find out the full details at overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk/darling.
Now on Broadway, An Enemy of the People is a New York Times critic's pick. Jeremy Strong is one of the great actors of his generation, hails the Chicago Tribune in a performance the Wall Street Journal praises as powerfully affecting and bitterly funny. Michael Imperioli sets off sparks, cheers the Hollywood Reporter. Victoria Pedretti is luminous, raves variety. From director Sam Gold and playwright Amy Herzog, An Enemy of the People is urgent, electrifying, and haunting, declares USA Today. An Enemy of the People on Broadway through June 16th only.
Think of all the sleep hacks you've ever heard. You could spend years trying them all, or you could instantly transform your sleep with Bowl and Branch. They make the softest, most breathable bedding you'll ever feel, and it's all 20% off. That's their best sale of the entire season. Millions of sleepers love their buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. And you can try all of them for 20% off with promo code BUTTERY20. So hurry to bollandbranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and branch.com. See site for details.
So shout out this week to a podcast called Speaking of Psychology. They had a guest on called Samuel West, who is the founder of the fascinating sounding Museum of Failure, Have a listen to Samuel West.
There was a book I read on the history of failure. And one of the ideas there was that the concept of a human being a failure is an American invention. So before in the English language, before capitalistic America and this big industrial sort of boom, only products and constructions, a bridge or a building could be a failure. But in England, the word failure was only used to describe, you know, an endeavor or a bridge.
Wow.
It was a human being couldn't really be a failure. But then in the sort of hyper capitalistic sort of society that emerged in the United States, the concept was if you're not rich enough, you know, with all this opportunity, and you can't avail yourself of everything in this wonderful new world, you must be a failure. So the concept of an individual being a failure is a fairly new concept.
So I will link to the Speaking of Psychology podcast in the show notes. But thinking of what he just said, always keep in mind, you as a person are not a failure. You're not a failure. You may have made bad decisions. You may be doing so still. You may do things wrong. You may do things badly. But you as a being are not a failure. Okay, thank you for listening. And I will speak to you next time. Thank you for listening to the Overcome Compulsive Hoarding with That Hoarder podcast. You can find more online at overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk. You can find me on Twitter at That Hoarder and on Facebook at Overcome Compulsive Hoarding with That Hoarder. To find out more about how you can support the podcast and the overall project, go to overcomecompulsivehoarding.co.uk/support and do subscribe to the podcast to make sure you don't miss any future episodes. There may be links in this podcast that earn me money. This doesn't come at any extra cost to you if you ever make a purchase through the links, and it helps to support the future of the podcast.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Are you ready for some hoops off?
Are you ready for some hoops off?
This is legitimately what you see people do right before they're going to fight. They take off their hoops, their earrings, because they don't want to get them ripped out of their ear. Mm-mm. And they get ready for battle. Hey, I'm Liz.
And I'm Karen.
And you're listening to Hoops Off from Luminary.
On this show, we take our hoops off to bring you the spiciest, the saltiest takes on each week's games. We'll also be reading books by our favorite players, reviewing Shaq-sponsored products.
And of course, we'll be bringing the tea.
Should I prepare the hot water?
Oh, you better prepare the hot water. Please make sure to follow the show on your favorite podcast listening platform.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.